You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Today that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have your Bible, say amen. If you're going to cheat and look at the screen, say amen. Bunch of cheaters. That's all right. I'll read 2 Corinthians 10 verse 11 with you. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present. In other words, don't just talk about it, be about it. It's enough in the 21st century, 2024. We don't need to just talk that we're Christians. We don't need to just say that we're apostolic. We need to start being apostolic. We need to start loving God and loving others more than ever before. As the world is being divided, it's time for us to be unified. We don't just talk about it. We're going to be about it. Verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare. Someone say compare. We dare not compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They pat themselves on the back. Look how great I am doing and look at how amazing I am. But they, someone say they, we're not those people. Remember that. They talk about it, but they're not really about it. They measuring themselves by themselves. They measuring themselves by themselves. They comparing themselves by themselves are not wise. They're foolish. They don't have it all together. When you and I compare, we're crazy. It's not wise. It's easy to look to the left or look at the right and say, look at how great I am. But that's foolish. We'll go to verse 17. But he or she that glorieth, let them glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. There's a pattern in this generation that I believe is going to be broken tonight. You've been struggling mentally. You've been going through it in the battle of your mind. And I believe that God is going to bring healing today in the life of a young man and a young woman. Today, we're going to get rid of a killer called comparison. Look to your neighbor and say, there is a killer. Look back to him and say, called comparison. Someone say, a killer called comparison. One more time, would you close your eyes and would you lift your voice and ask God to open up your heart and your mind to receive what he has for you today. God, you sent me here. You've spoken to me because you're trying to reach a young lady, a young man. They've been measuring themselves by themselves. We've been divided because we look to the left and the right. But I pray that today we go back to the beginning, that we go back to loving you and loving others, that it's not about comparison, it's not about measuring ourselves to ourselves, but it's all about you. Heal hearts tonight, heal minds today, let there be grace and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Look to your neighbor as you're seated and say, a killer called comparison. Who's excited for the afterburner after service tonight? I'll be there. I got my gym clothes. I don't know what sports we're playing. Hopefully volleyball and basketball. If we do staff versus the students, we all are going down. I don't care what anybody says. Top five, we're going to beat them, right, Braden? All right, you're going to be our point guard. I trust you. Do I have any ballers in the house today? Any basketball players? Any basketball players? Who's like the big action Jackson? Come here. I need you, Jackson. Come on up. Jackson, you look like a baller. Everyone say, what's up, Jackson? Come on up here, bud. All right, I got a question. We don't bet, so we're not going to talk about making bets. But let's say you had to choose the right answer. Who do you think would win in a basketball game? Action Jackson. I didn't even say who yet. You guys got blind faith in your mans. They're good friends, though. They're good friends? All right. Action Jackson or LeBron James? Who do you think would win? Okay, we're going to talk about lying tonight. Remember that where it said they're not wise? Okay, you might win against LeBron James. Maybe Bronny because he's not doing the best right now, but LeBron James, okay? What about in a dunk contest? Not on like the little Tykes goal, but if it's a 10-foot goal, who would win, Jackson or LeBron James? Okay. God has to give me a different word for tomorrow because these people are delusional. It's all the poutine up here in Canada. I'm sorry about that, eh? We know who would obviously win. Now, Jackson, he might cross me up tonight. I hope not, because I got to preach tomorrow, and I don't want to wear crutches from a broken ankle. But in a dunk contest, I would say LeBron would win. But how crazy would it look if you and LeBron didn't have a dunk contest on a 10-foot goal, but you tried to touch the moon? Do you think you could touch the moon if you jumped from here? No, thank you for being honest. See, the Lord is not going to smite us here. The projector's not going to fall on our head because you're being honest. I appreciate that. How crazy would it look? Maybe LeBron could jump a foot or two higher than Action Jackson over here. But when compared to jumping to the moon, the greatness of the distance of the moon, it would look crazy. Thank you, Jackson. Why don't we give it up for Jackson? But that brief illustration really is comparison. Because too many times, some of us could be like that illustration where we look down our nose at other people that aren't doing as good as we are. They're struggling, or maybe they've made some mistakes along the way, and we say, look at how good I'm doing. Look at my last name. Look at the church that I'm from. Look at the youth group and how big it is that I go to. And we look down our nose at other people, but the Bible is clear. We dare not compare ourselves amongst ourselves. That is not wise. Comparison always kills. But then there's the other side where people look up and say, man, Brother Braden Brew is a great preacher. He's a great man of God. He's a great leader. I just can't do what he does, so I just won't do anything at all. But enough is enough of looking left or right, because compared to the greatness of God, maybe you're a little bit further than other people, but we don't look down at other people, because even our best is as filthy rags when we look up to the glory and the greatness of God. And we also don't look at great men like Brother Carter and the pastors that serve you and preach to you every Sunday. We don't look to them and say, they're so great, I don't have a place in the body of Christ. We're not going to look left, and we're not going to look right. We're going to keep our eyes and our focus on God tonight. Tonight, we're going to get rid of a killer called comparison. Because comparison always kills three things. Someone say three things. Comparison always kills our relationship with others. Comparison always kills our ministry. And comparison ultimately wants to kill our relationship with God. Tonight, God wants to do heart surgery on you and I, and we have to open up our hearts to be honest. We have to allow His word to be a mirror to our hearts to say, you know what, I haven't always done right. I haven't always thought right. So tonight, I got to get rid of a killer called comparison. Someone say a killer called comparison. The first thing that a killer called comparison does is it kills our relationship with others. We go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain, someone say Cain. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, someone say Abel. Abel, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Abel brought a living sacrifice, an animal, whereas Cain brought fruits and vegetables. And unto Cain and his offering, verse 5, God did not respect it. And Cain was very wroth. His countenance fell. He became angry, because he started to compare. He started to look to other people. Instead of doing what God has called him to do, he started looking to the left and to the right. And the Lord said unto Cain, who is God talking to here? Someone say Cain. God, even though Cain isn't sacrificing right, God still speaks. I want to let you know, even if you've come in here making mistakes, God is still moving on your hearts, and God still loves you. God still cares about you. There is no sin. There's no brokenness. There's no darkness. Jesus Christ loves you and wants a relationship with you tonight. And God is speaking to you just like he did to Cain. And God asked him, why are you so angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not also be accepted? If you don't do well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him. God is speaking to Cain. Cain's not doing right, Brother Alex, but God yet speaks to him. And we don't find in the Bible where Cain responds back to God. Because just like earlier when those songs that they did so great, why don't we give it up for the music team today? As worship is going forward and we're praising God, the God of all creation, instead of us hearing the voice of God, a lot of us are doing what Cain does. Cain starts to look to the left and the right. Verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Instead of answering God, Cain goes to his brother. Instead of us getting our life right and doing what it takes to be blessed, doing what it takes to live according to the word of God, it's so easy that we start to look to the left or look to the right. And that's called comparison. Someone say comparison. And could I submit to you tonight, why did Cain kill Abel, his brother? It wasn't because he was mad. It wasn't because he was jealous. Cain was trying to control God. Because if he gets rid of Abel, then God has no one else sacrificing but him. So maybe God will have to accept my sacrifice. And how do we do that in our lives? Gossip. Someone say gossip. When that person gets the solo and we don't like it because we think we should get the solo, what do? We start gossiping amongst our youth group. When that person gets to do the fiery five or the youth pastor is hanging out with that young person and we don't like it, we begin to gossip because maybe if God won't use them because of I'm telling their secrets, then maybe the youth pastor will use me. Maybe if I can talk bad about that other person in my youth group, then maybe God will use me. Maybe if I can talk bad about that church, well, look at how they're doing things. They really don't love God. Then maybe God will send revival to my church. No, gossip has to stop tonight. Comparison will kill your relationship with others. You wonder why you're struggling with loneliness. You wonder why there's cliques in your youth group. You wonder why your youth group isn't growing. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because, Sister Miranda, God doesn't want to bless you. It's because we're doing like what Cain does. Instead of doing what God has called us to do, we look to the left and we look to the right in comparison, and it's destroying our relationship with others. So let's talk about it. When you're in revival, I should worship because we're all a part of the body of Christ. Brother Braden, when your church is growing, that means my church is growing. I don't look down at you and get mad at you. Well, God should have used me. God should have done this. God should have used that. No, we're all on the same team. Atlantic District, we don't look at other districts and say, well, I don't like them. We don't go on other people's social media. We don't look at other people's churches and say, oh, well, you don't know what they're really doing. Gossip has to stop tonight. You wonder why friendships seem so shallow and there's no depth. It's because a killer called comparison wants to destroy your relationship with others. But what would it be like in the Atlantic District at camp or a retreat when we walk in and we're not worried about what anybody else is doing, what anybody else is struggling about, but instead of talking about them, we're going to pray for them. We're going to worship with them. When they tell us a secret, we're not going to go and spread it around so that other people can also pray with us. No, we're going to take it to leadership and we're going to pray for their souls. A killer called comparison is destroying this generation. Because instead of you and I being what God has called us to be, too often we're like Cain and we compare. And we destroy friendships. We destroy people's ministries because we think we can control God. Man, that piano player, if you just knew how he treated me, why don't you just pray for him? Maybe he was having a bad day. Man, that preacher, if you just knew what he's really like, maybe instead of talking about him, you should just pray about them. Instead of talking about the church down the street or the district or America or this or that, instead of talking about it, let's pray about it. We dare not compare ourselves amongst ourselves because a killer called comparison is destroying youth groups. But I pray to God that the spirit of unity will break out just like it did at youth convention months ago, will continue to break out in this service tonight, that instead of us being divided, that we're together because we are better together, that we celebrate kingdom victories, that when a baptism happens at your church, Sister Chelsea, I'm going to worship and thank God for it. Maybe I haven't seen someone baptized in my youth group in a few months. You know what? I'm still going to celebrate the wins of others because I'm not going to compare. Someone say comparison. But comparison doesn't stop at killing our relationship with others. Comparison is not content with you being isolated, with your youth group having cliques, with you not having good, healthy friendships. Comparison wants to kill your ministry. Someone say, my ministry. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. He had a son whose name was Saul. Someone say Saul. Saul was a choice young man, a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders upward, he was higher than any of his people. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. Everybody knew Saul. Saul had charisma. He had a great personality. In 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, Samuel took oil and poured it on his head, and it's not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. Saul isn't only the man, but he's also anointed. Someone say he's anointed. He's called by God to do great things. The first king in Israel, though that wasn't God's plan, God was going to use Saul to change the world. But Saul fell into the trap and the killer called comparison. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This man named Goliath, someone say Goliath. Goliath is in the valley and he's barking and he's talking crazy about God and the children of Israel, barking negative things and just being horrible. And all the Israelites are hiding. All the army is hiding. But King Saul, who was supposed to be the champion, he was supposed to be the warrior. Instead of being on the battlefield, he's also hiding. And then there's this little kid named David. Someone say David. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth." Saul is comparing David to other people, putting his expectations on David. But David would not have it. And Saul went a step further in verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail. Saul is saying, if you're really going to fight, you have to do it my way. Instead of doing what God has called you to do, how God has called you to do it, I want you to follow my expectations. We read in 1 Samuel 17 that David didn't wear that armor, and he killed Goliath with the sling and the stone and then cut off his head. And then the story gets really interesting in the next chapter. Verse 6, it came to pass when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. How many people did David kill? How many people did David kill? Look to your neighbor and say one. Look to them and say one equals one. I think our math is the same here, right? I know the dollar is a little different, but one equals one here in Canada, right? David killed how many people? And the woman came out singing and dancing to meet King Saul. The women weren't at battle. The women didn't know what happened. What they thought is that the king, the champion, the main warrior of Israel, he was going to be the one that came home and killed Goliath. The women came out singing and dancing to meet King Saul, not King David. The women answered one to another as they played, "Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was angry, and the saying displeased him, and he ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they've ascribed but thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom of God? Saw I David from that day forward." David killed how many people? But later on Instagram, when Saul got on, David seemed to have more followers. David had more likes on that post than him. Though Saul has been to war, if you read throughout the Bible, Saul has killed thousands. David, at that point, only killed one. But social media inflated the story in Saul's eyes. People would celebrate David. And instead of Saul being thankful that the people weren't going to be slaves to the Philistines, Saul compared. Someone say he compared. He compared and he looked to the left and the right. Instead of thanking God that someone fought the giant and killed the giant, Saul compared. And isn't that what we do in our lives in social media? We talked about social media earlier today, and that the story and the stats around social media is so crazy. I looked up, Brother Alex, slavery in America, one of the worst parts of our history. Thank God we've overcome that. And I looked at the self-harm and suicide ideation and anxiety and depression during slavery. I looked up the Holocaust, and I looked up suicide ideation and self-harm, anxiety, and depression during those times. where families are getting ripped apart. People are getting experimented on. People are getting killed by the thousands. People are working for free in slave labor. And then I looked up today's society, the anxiety and depression in Canada and North America. Are you telling me that it's harder to live in 2024 than it is in the Holocaust or slavery? But the anxiety and depression levels would say so. Why? Because you're more depressed after scrolling for hours than before you ever got on social media. Because young ladies, you look at all these girls and it's a bunch of filters and it's the lighting and they've taken 500 pictures just to get the light right and they get a bunch of followers and you are scrolling on social media and you're comparing your worst day to their fake day and you think that you're not good enough. You think that you're not pretty enough and you have this false belief of beauty. But that's comparison. And Saul fell into that. It wasn't true, but because it was on social media, Saul believed what the people were saying. David only killed one, but Saul got angry because he was being hyped up. Why do you post a story and then you go and see if that person likes it or if that person looked at it or not? Because instead of you just being content and thankful in how God made you, you have to compare yourself to other people on social media. You can scroll for hours, but you can't read the Bible for 5 minutes a day. You can scroll for hours, but you can't pray for 10 minutes a day. Something's wrong. Anxiety and depression is plaguing this generation. And really what's baked in is comparison. You know, as a customer, you're only called a user two different times. As a customer, you're only called a user two different times. A drug user and social media user. Now, I'm not preaching against the box. I'm not preaching against the device. I have social media, but you should have boundaries because if not, you're going to go and fall into the pattern of comparison. That you can scroll for hours and look at other churches and what other districts are doing and what that young man, what that young woman's doing. And then you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see. But enough is enough of comparison. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 3:20, you are the work of his craftsmanship. God loves you so much, and you need to stop comparing. You need to realize that God loves you so much, he died for your sins, and he wants a relationship with you. But you can listen to the world and think you're not good enough, think you're not smart enough, think you're not pretty enough, think you're never going to amount to anything, think that your mistakes make you a failure for life, but that's just a killer called comparison. And as we read this story, comparison doesn't just want to isolate you from other people. Yes, it destroys relationships with others, but it ultimately destroys your ministry. 1 Samuel chapter 31, we see at the end of Samuel's life, Samuel is surrounded by the Philistines, the people who he should have been fighting, the people he once beat in battles. But because he was too busy chasing David around the land, he forgot how to fight. He was too busy comparing and scrolling, trying to find David and faults in David's life that Saul hasn't used the sword in a while. And now he's surrounded. Though he was anointed, though he was gifted, comparison is going to destroy his ministry. Saul said unto his armor bearer, "Draw your sword, thrust me through therewith, lest these Philistines come and thrust me through and abuse me." His armor bearer would not because he was so afraid. So Saul fell on his own sword. Saul should have never been in that situation. But Saul forgot how to fight. Just like we can forget how to fight. We don't know how to war spiritually because we're too busy comparing. Instead of looking at the church down the road, why don't you figure out how you can have revival at your own church? Instead of comparing to that youth group, why don't you start a culture of prayer and Bible study teaching in your group, youth group? A killer called comparison has to end tonight. Enough is enough. But a killer called comparison is not satisfied with destroying your relationship with others. It's not satisfied with destroying your ministry. A killer called comparison ultimately wants to destroy your relationship with God. Genesis chapter 25, verse 30. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with this same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob, someone say Jacob. Look to your neighbor and say Jacob. Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. Esau's working in the field, doing what his father has told him to do. But he starts to compare to what his brother has that he doesn't have. And instead of relying on God as the provider that his grandfather proved in his life, he thinks he has to make it in his own strength and do it in his own way. So he sells his birthright. And as the story of Jacob and Esau unfolds, their dad, Isaac, is at the point of death. And he has inheritance. He has this great blessing to give to the firstborn son. But Jacob connives and he lies. He dresses up like his brother. He smells like his brother. He cooks food like his brother cooks. And he sneaks into his father's room, who's blind and about to die soon. And his father says, you smell like Esau. The wool that you're wearing, that animal fur, it feels hairy like Esau. The food you brought me tastes like Esau. But you don't sound like your brother Esau. But instead of listening to the word he gave into other senses, feelings are real, but they're not always right. Feelings are real, but they're not always right. And instead of listening to the voice, he gave over the blessing. Esau enters the room to get the blessing. He cooks venison. And his father says, weren't you just in here? And he said, no. He said, I've already given the blessing away. I've given everything away. And so now he realizes his brother took everything from him. And in chapter 27, verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing that his father gave him in comparison, and Esau didn't have. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother. My father is going to die soon. And when my father dies, that's when I'm going to go and kill my brother. Because before you can slander and gossip, before you can click up and be isolated, before you can destroy everyone else's reputation, before you spread that secret that you should have been praying about, when we compare to other people, when we gossip, our relationship with our Father has to be dead and severed. We step out of our relationship with God when we look at one of his children and we begin to badmouth them. What kind of loving father would I be if I let my three daughters, now they fight and we wrestle. I love my daughter so much. But what kind of man would I be if at the dinner table, my daughter takes one of the eating utensils and goes to attack and kill one of my other daughters and I don't stop it? In order for my daughters to really harm each other, not on accident, but intentionally with anger, I better not be around because there's going to be consequences. And God is the same way. So before you can talk about that church down the road, before you can talk about that young man or that young woman in your youth group, what you first have to do is step out of a right relationship with God because God died for them. But instead of treating them like God's daughter and son, we compare, and when we compare, we kill our relationship with our Father. So my heartbeat tonight, as just a piano player comes, is that we get rid of a killer called comparison. Someone say comparison. Because as I look at the stats of this generation, Brother Braden, how the young ladies are struggling with such a low self-confidence and low self-esteem, where did it come from? Because you're too busy looking to the left and the right. Do you not realize that God made you in his image and he cares so much about you? But being on social media, listening to Hollywood, watching movies and TV, what have you doubting yourself? When's the last time, young lady, you looked at the mirror and you actually liked what you saw? But you're too busy comparing to other people. Why don't you hear the voice of your heavenly Father that cares so much about you? Joshua 1:5 says, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. And instead of looking to everybody else, why don't you let God affirm you today? Maybe someone in your life never told you they were proud of you or they loved you. Why don't you let God tell you today? Well, my body's this. I'm short. I'm tall. I'm skinny. I'm fat. I got freckles. I got a gap. I got pimples. I got acne. My hair's kinky. My hair's curly. My hair's straight. My hair's long. My hair's short. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. God made you for a purpose, and God has a great man in store for you. So don't look to anybody else's story. Just be what God has called you to be and stop comparing. To the young men, today's society where we lie and we have to act like we're all macho. Paul said, in my weakness, his strength was made perfect. So why don't we get honest about comparison and say, you know what, I've been looking everywhere else to try to figure out how I can provide and protect and be a good man. Instead of looking everywhere else, why don't I look to God as my example? Because if maybe I'm jumping a little bit higher than them, but when jumping to the moon, I'm not really jumping that far. Or maybe that person's jumping so much higher than me, but when jumping to the moon, instead of looking left and right, why don't we hear from God today and stop comparing? You can't control God through your gossip. God won't use you because you disqualify somebody else because how you talk about them. But David, God wants you to know today that he loves you. Miles, God wants you to know today that he loves you. Cullen, wherever you're at, Cullen, God wants you to know that he loves you. God cares so much about each and every one of you. But comparison has plagued this generation. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm dumb. We compare, compare, compare. When is the last time you really laughed like when you was a kid? Before you looked at other families and said, man, their parents are together, my family's broken. Why don't you realize you're part of the family and the body of Christ? And you can rewrite your story today in an altar. You can laugh again. You can have joy again. You can smile again. You don't have to listen to the echoes of your past mistakes or what others have said about you or the labels that they have put on you. You can go to sleep tonight in peace and have the best night of sleep that you've had in years because you're not going to compare. Can we all stand right now? I can see it in your eyes right now. People are trying to hold back tears. Young ladies are nervous. Can I really be vulnerable with God? Am I really good enough? Am I really fearfully and wonderfully made? Am I really the apple of his eye? If he cares for the lilies, does he really care for me? I want to let you know, no affirmation, no relationship, no boy to the young ladies and no girls to the young men is going to fill that God-sized void in your heart. Even your mom and dad won't fill that God-sized void. Even your pastor, even the church, as wonderful as it is, will not fill that God-sized void in your heart. No amount of money, no ministry, no career, no amount of memories, no amount of traveling will fill that God-sized void in your heart. Only God can do that. And God wants to speak to you today. So we dare not measure ourselves amongst ourselves, because that's foolish. So what's the answer tonight? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Does anybody know that? Can you quote that? I'll start it. I can do all things. I can do all things. But that's not where the verse starts. Paul doesn't start there in Philippians 4, 13. Let's go to verse 11 together. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am in to be, that my story might look different than other people, but I'm not looking at them. My church might not be as big as theirs yet, but I'm not looking at them. My family's not like theirs, but I'm not looking at them. In whatever state that I'm in, I'm going to be content. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. And everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both in full and in hungry, both to abound and to suffer in need, to be content. Because when we're content, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can have a good marriage. You can have a good life. You can have a good career. You can have a successful ministry. But it's not going to be found in comparison, because we dare not compare ourselves amongst ourselves. For that's not wise. Because compared to God, we have a long way to go. But when you and I are content in how God made us, that's when we can do all things through Christ. That's when you can be an overcomer. That's when you can have a great marriage, even though you came from a broken family. That's when you can have a great ministry and God opens up doors. Not when you're comparing, but when you're content in who God has made you to be. So yes, you look a little different. Yes, there might be some imperfections. But the master artist made you perfect the way he wanted you to be. And he wants to tell you that tonight. Can we make our way to this altar? Even the adults, can we also be honest and make our way to this altar and say, you know what, I even compare. I look at other people. Yes, I look a little different. Yes, my story's a little different. But it's not about them. I'm going to be content in who God has made me to be.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.